You're listening to Full Guard Fight Radio. Fight. Jax Media, helping give fighters and fight promoters the edge to get noticed and pound through to success. At Jax Media, we know how difficult it can be to get sponsorships for your fights or fighters. Don't miss out on prime opportunities. Showcase your fight history, stats, bio, sponsorship rate, and clickable links to your online and social media platforms with a custom media kit. Media kits starting as low as $50. Also, ask about our custom Facebook page setup, apps, fighter and fight promotion websites, and more. Visit us online today at www.jaxmedia.ca. Jax Media, design with an edge.
Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I am Jason London. He is Carl the Madman Mortensen. This is Full Guard Fight Radio, a super awesome show. We have Kirk Southern on tonight. Priming up for next week, we have Mark Pavlich, the owner of the MFC, and we also have Adam the Woo next week. But this week we have Kurt Southern, who is fighting. I'm going to vote for the main event of MFC 40. But before I want to talk to my producer because I have a feeling that I have new entrance music and I don't even know it. But Carl, my man, are you with me?
Muy importante.
Now my Spanish is a little rusty. However, I feel like we have a muy importante, a very important announcement, a breaking news, Carl. We have some breaking news here on Full Guard Fight Radio. It has to do with the MFC. Do you want to break it down, or should I?
Fly at her, man.
The MFC, it's 40 this week, right? MFC 40. The Crown Kings, excuse me, due to a significant lower body injury, makes me nervous. Every time I hear of significant lower body injury when it comes to male MMA fighters, I think of the genitalia or knees. That's all I can think of. But due to a significant, and that's kind of a key word in this whole thing, lower body injury, MFC Bantamweight champion Anthony Berchek is not going to fight on May 9th. He had to pull out of the fight, which is super. It's a super bummer and a downer for me because I love to watch Anthony Berchek fight. I think he's, he just comes with the fury. I mean, the kid is just incredible. So we wish him a speedy recovery here at the Full Guard Fight Radio. I know all of MMA Madhouse does. He's one of our favorites. But due to that significant, that makes me nervous, Carl, significant lower body injury, that can never be good. But in the wake of that, the hard-hitting hillbilly, Kevin Kroom, who is 14-4, is going to take on Jesse Brock, who is 16-8, in a three-round title elimination. So the winner is going to face Berchek when he's healthy and he can come back. It kind of bums me out a little bit, Kroom. Not that I'm not looking forward to Kroom and Brock, but, I always love to see Anthony Berchek fight, and especially when it comes to significant injuries. And, he's a brand-new champion recently, and it's always good to see a title defenses in the champ, but you don't want to see any champion get injured prior to fights, let alone title defenses. So it kind of sucks a little bit, huh?
Yeah, definitely sucks a little bit. But, I think they did a pretty good job as far as replacement fight goes. It's not Berchek, but, that should be a good fight, though, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we're only a couple of weeks out, so, I mean, the MFC just absolutely puts together, you know, just does what they do. They go from awesome Anthony Berchek to two awesome fighters and crewman Brock to fight Anthony Berchek, which is also going to be an amazing fight when that happens too. So, sucks. Anthony Berchek get better. We will see you on the other side, and I hope that significant lower body injury is a little more south than your waistline. I hope from my perspective. But Carl, how are you, my man? How you been?
I've been great, man. Just doing what we do, staying busy as ever. No other breaking news to report at this time, but we're working on a few things.
I got to give a big shout out to Skippy because we talked a little bit off air. We goofed a little bit, and you know, I was like, "Do you have any breaking news?" And you're like, "Absolutely, Skippy's got something here," and he pulled that off. So I appreciate it, Skippy. My Spanish is a little rusty. I can count to 10, and I can tell you that I play Toca la Guitarra. I do not play the guitar, but that's all I can say in Spanish. So I give you 1 to 10, and I'll tell you I can play the guitar, which is a straight lie, and my credibility is shot. So that's all I got for you. outside of that, we got Carl. Listen, man, I am super. Like, I'm kind of a dick. I mean, you knew that long ago. You still wanted me to host a radio show with you, and I'm not sure why, but. We had Tom Galicchio on last week, and the guy was probably one of my favorite fighter interviews I've ever done. I mean, he was fun, he was real, he was a good time. And this week, we have Kurt Southern on. Now, I really feel bad because I really want to like Kurt Southern too. Because from everything I've read, everything I've talked, everything I've heard, he's a good guy. So we're going to have to step up our game a little bit tonight, Carl, because they're fighting May 9th. And I'm going to vote for that as being punch the vote? Is that what the MFC calls it?
Yeah,
where you punch where the fans vote. Punch the vote, right. Where the fans can vote to see who the title fight or the main event and, you know, different things like that are going to be. So that's going to be my vote. But I'm really looking forward to talking to Kurt Southern tonight. And he's fighting Tom Galicchio, which I don't want to be a dick, but might be one of my favorite interviews ever. So I've got to step my game up. And I didn't know this. This is my bad. I'm a terrible, terrible, terrible radio host. This is going to be a rematch from the January 17th fight where, excuse me, where Tom beat Kurt and by rear naked choke. In the second round. I'm a dick, Carl. I really am, because I didn't even talk to Tom last week about it, and I'm going to have to talk to Kurt tonight about it a little bit just to see how he's feeling. You know, he's coming off a loss, man. It kind of blows, and I'm sure the guy's going to be way more focused, and I'm going to want to, you know, I'm going to want to kind of bust balls and get at him a little bit, but, you know, we'll see, because, you know, I feel bad, but I'm looking forward to talking to him tonight. And then next week, which, you know, I feel like I'm the New England Patriots from a couple of years ago, and we're looking past opponents to get the bigger opponents. We have the MFC just does it again. We have Mark. I'm going to come up with – we got to come up with a name for him, Carl. Mark the motivator. Mark the – you know, we got to come up with something. Mark Pavlich, the owner of the MFC, is coming on. Now, we're going to switch it up a little bit to somebody that you've really kind of turned me on to, plutonically, of course, Adam the Woo. When you and I talked about him, Adam, you said you got to check out Adam and his abandoned videos. So I said, okay, is he a survivalist like Bear Grylls? You said, no, check him out. So Adam the Woo is a, should we call him a Magellan type? He's an explorer.
Urban explorer, I guess, is probably the best way to put it.
Okay. An urban explorer. So he goes around to different areas of the country, the world, and he explores. Now I'm very intrigued, Carl. So next week, super stoked. I've already warned my neighbors. Listen, I start screaming, I start howling. It's because I have Mark Pavlich on, and they say, all of them around me say, oh, you're having him on the radio show again. I get it. And then to top that off, I'm going to want to go sleep in the tundra for a month because we're going to have Adam Nguyen on next week. But before that, we back up Kirk Southern on tonight. Oh, I'm stoked. You do it again. You did it again. How do you keep moving forward?
I don't know. Well, let's not waste any more time talking to me. We've got the one and only Kurt Southern live with us. Well, thanks for joining us, Kurt.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Kurt, how are you, man? Thanks for coming on to me.
I'm doing great. I'm doing great.
Good. Kurt, you're 2 weeks out of your fight with Tom, a rematch with Tom from your January fight. Tell me a little bit about where you're at in training camp. Are you, finishing
up
the game plan?
Can you speak up a little bit? I'm having a little trouble hearing you.
Absolutely. I said you're a couple weeks out of your fight with Tom. Tell me a little bit about where you're at in training camp. Are you working on new things? Are you finishing up some things? I don't want you to give away your game plan, but kind of walk me through where you're at in your camp.
Well, I just got back. I actually went to Sacramento. I was down training at Uriah Faber's Ultimate Fitness and down with the guys from Team Alpha Male. So I actually got to spend 4 weeks down there training, which was an amazing experience. Being in a room with all those killers every day really helped me step up my game. And now I'm back for the last 3 weeks with my home base at Alliance Martial Arts here in Saskatoon. And now I'm just, keeping the hard training going for the last few weeks here, getting everything fine-tuned and, making sure I'm ready to go for May 9th, ready to take that belt.
Yeah, absolutely. You threw me off when you said you were down training with Uriah. Like, I got a little bit starstruck. Now, I got to ask you, I mean, you're a professional fighter, and I know you deal with these guys all the time, but when you walk into a gym like that and you see all the creme de la creme of the who's who of the mixed martial arts game, are you a little bit intimidated?
Sorry, what was the last part you said there?
Are you a little bit intimidated? Are you a little bit, starstruck, I guess?
I wouldn't say intimidated. I mean, everybody there is really, really nice. All those guys are super cool, and, they're willing to help you out and work with you. I mean, they'll kick your ass too, but that's part of the game. But everybody's there to get better, and they know you're there to get better. And I didn't really feel intimidated. I think I was the first little bit was a little different because you're a little bit out of your comfort zone. At your gym, you're kind of the big dog walking in all the time. At least at my home gym, like I've been there for 7-8 years and you go into a new place with all these guys and you just feel a little bit like more of an outsider looking in a little bit until you sort of get to know the guys and get in there. And then after, a week or so, it's just becomes just the daily training as usual. You go in, you put in your hard work and then you go back to the house and, relax, eat and then have a bit of a break and go back and do it again. And it's, life of a fighter. So it was awesome for me to experience that.
Yeah. So you've been in the game for 7 or 8 years professionally. Is that correct?
I think I had my first pro fight 7 years ago in February.
Okay. So we're just over 7 years into your professional career. Now, when you walk into the gym with Uriah Faber in Team Alpha Male and their whole, their whole entourage that they roll with, do they teach you something new or is it kind of just like fine tuning some of your crafts that you can fall back on?
There's class, like you attend classes, so it's not like they really teach you specifically anything new, but there's a class and everybody's sort of doing the same thing. And, there's sparring days where everybody just goes in and spars and, so you learn from every class that you're in there working with the guys. You're learning every single class, with all their teachers. And you know, if you have, if you decide you want a private lesson with any of the coaches, you know, then that's when they'll kind of give you a lot more personal attention, you know, where they'll cater it specifically for your skills and what you want to do and stuff like that. But you know, as far as the classes go, it's more just a general basis. They might be working stuff for maybe some of, you know, the team alpha male guys that have fights coming up, and, you know, they might be maybe working on specific stuff for them. But as far as, like, you know, everybody else like me or the other guys that are just sort of training in there, you know, they're not going to get too specific for our things. But everybody's really helpful. Like, if you're going to, if you ask them a question, like, oh, what did you do there? You know, they'll tell you and let you know if you did something wrong or if you did something good or whatever, you know. So
sure, absolutely. You know, I've actually had a chance to meet Uriah a couple of times, and he seems like a very down-to-earth kind of guy. You know, I mean, at the time, you know, I was just, you know, the Finger Coats fan, but he took time to stop and shake my hand and talk to me a little bit and things. So he seems like a very nice guy, and I can imagine that, you know, he surrounds himself with good things. And to be honest with you, everything that guy touches turns to gold. So, I mean, you gotta feel like you're in a good spot when you make a decision to come from your home base, your comfort zone, down to another place where, you know, you're, like you said, you're kind of a littler fish in a big pond. But, you know, that's kind of a comforting feeling when you walk into a gym and you see, you know, those guys there.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you see all the success that they've had, and you know that they're doing things the right way. You know, that's the comforting thing, is you know that when you're in there, you're training, you know, the way a fighter is supposed to train. And so, you know, I learned a lot of things about how to train, and, you know, what maybe we were doing right or wrong. I mean, not necessarily wrong, but maybe a little different. And, you know, so I took away a lot of things on maybe how I'm going to switch up my training coming, you know, for the rest of my career or, you know, upcoming training camps and stuff like that. And of course I would love to go down there again and maybe train for another fight if the opportunity comes. And, but yeah, you know, and I want to take it to that next level and become a champion. You know, I want to be the MFC champ. And obviously my last fight, I wasn't at the level to get that belt. So I figured I needed to step up my game a bit, and, you know, I want to be a champ, and I want to be a good champ too. You know, I want to win that belt, defend it, you know, and, you know, so I really need to step up my game to be able to do that. So I think that's what I did.
Absolutely. You know, Kurt, you're going into your 19th, excuse me, your 19th fight, and this is going to be your fifth fight in the MFC. Do you feel like you're a veteran of the ring? I mean, was that something that you had to work to transition from a cage or the metal around you to the ring? Because, I mean, not everybody can make that transition easily. Has that been an easy transition for you? I mean, this is your fifth fight. I mean, it seems like you're kind of a veteran in the ring now, right?
Of the ring? Like the ring and the cage, you mean?
Yes, between the ring and the cage.
Yeah, I feel like I'm a veteran of, I think, you know, I'm a veteran of fighting and MMA in general. You know, I look back on it now and realize that I've, you know, this will be my ninth pro fight. You know, like, I'll have 20 fights by the end of this year, you know, guaranteed,
sure.
You know, like, because that's a lot of fights, and having five in the MFC, and I have fought in other shows and rings too. So I think this will actually be like my eighth fight in a ring too. So almost half of my fights have actually been in a ring. That's funny. Yeah. I didn't even realize that either. So, I'm comfortable in a ring or a cage. You know, to me, a fight's a fight. And I like the ring for the fans. And that's really what the sport is about, because without the fans, you know, we none of us would be getting paid. No one would know who we are. We would just be, you know, a bunch of thugs if nobody wanted to pay money to sit in the seats and watch us fight, right? Like, this sport wouldn't be what it is without them. So, you know, as far as watching and viewing, I think the ring's better. As far as fighting, I mean, they both have their advantages and disadvantages. So, to me, it doesn't matter. You know, I just go up there and fight and prepare for whichever venue I'm going to be fighting in, right? So,
so this is going to be your 19th fight. You've been 18. Six of them, one third, have gone past the first round. Is that something that you strive for? Is to finish early? Is that it, or do you just see an opportunity, take an opportunity, and try to finish as quickly as you can? Or is that just, you know, kind of the way you're wired, and you want to get in, get out as quickly as you can?
I never really plan, I guess, to finish it early. I think I'm just a quick starter, and I like to get out there and make things happen right away. You know, I don't like to wait around and, you know, dance around in there and sort of feel things out. I kind of like to just get in there and get it going. You know, I just like to. I'm a pretty aggressive fighter, so I'm like.
Sure.
Right in my opponent's face from the opening bell, and I, you know, don't really like to give them a lot of room to breathe. So I think a lot of times I am able to maybe break people early and catch them with things right away. And I don't know. I don't really plan it that way. I think that's just my style. I'm just a pretty aggressive, in-your-face style fighting, and I think people like that. So
absolutely. You know what? I got to be honest with you. You've already put a beating on a friend of mine, Mukai Maromo. You put a beating on him two different times. I had a chance to watch both those fights, and you absolutely are not lying when you say you just bring it. I mean, I think you, I can speak freely, and he and I have had this conversation, that I feel like you just kind of overtook him, and he wasn't ready for you, and I thought maybe the second fight was going to be a little different, but you fought great fights in both those fights. So, I mean, hats off to you, my friend, and I've had a chance to watch you fight a few times, and I really enjoy your style, being a fan first and being a radio guy second. I really enjoy your style. So is that something that you really want to strive for? Because I ask a lot of fighters this. Is it important for you to impress fans or to make them, say, wow, look at this Curt Southern? Or is it just like, you know what, I'm in here to do a job. I'm a fighter. I do my job. And if you like it, you do. If you don't, I'm sorry, but a W is a W. Is that, kind of walk me through that.
No, I definitely like to impress the fans. I mean, again, like, that is who makes us who we are, right? Like, if people want to see you fight, that makes you more valuable sometimes than your wins and losses, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
There's guys
Absolutely.
With some subpar records out there, you know, but people want to see them fight. You know why? Because they know no matter what, if that guy wins or loses, if that guy's in the ring fighting, that they're going to want to pay to see it, win or lose. That guy's
for sure.
going to put on a show, and it's going to be entertaining. And, you know, it's hard to say what's more important, you know, wins or losses or if people want to watch you fight. And, you know, I think people would rather see an exciting fighter lose than a boring fighter win, you know, and that's from the fans.
Yeah.
Me personally, you know, I go back and forth on that, whether – you know, what's more important. And it depends at what point in your career you're at, too. You know, sometimes
sure.
you just get a win. You know, sometimes you just
sure.
can't lose that next fight. And I get into that where, like, oh, I want to put on a show. I want to go out there and knock this guy out. But then I remember, like, no matter what, I think I just have an exciting style, whether I'm trying to put on a show,
Absolutely.
Whether I'm trying to knock a guy out or not. I think I just have a style that people like to watch regardless of what's going on in my head. I think I fight the same. So for me, I don't want to put that extra pressure on myself of I want to knock this guy out. I want to put on a show because I think I do anyway a little bit. You know, I think people like to watch me fight regardless. So which is good.
Yeah. I got to be honest with you. I like to watch you fight. I mean, even though when you beat my friends up, I still like to watch you fight. And I really absolutely think that I agree with you. You know, it's funny to me because I've never stepped in a cage. I've never stepped in a ring. I've never been a fighter, but I've been an athlete. I've played different sports throughout my life. And, you know, I was a baseball guy forever, and I just know that I was in a zone. I just knew when I was going to hit the ball and I was going to hit it hard and I was going to whatever. Is that kind of the way it transitions into fighting for you? You're in the cage, and you just know, like, either A, I've broken this guy, or B, I know I can do X, Y, and Z to him, whether it be a takedown and choke him out, or, like, does the real time slow down for you? Because really, truly, Kurt, you bring it, man. I mean, you come full pedal to the metal all the time, brother. And, I mean, as much as you were very relaxed and reserved on the phone, and it's funny to me because I've seen you fight a couple of times and I was expecting real hyper. And, I mean, you're very relaxed and I mean, you're very contained, and it's very surprising to me. So when you are in a cage, is it something, or in the ring even, is it something that you just know and you can feel that you're, you know, finger quotes, in the zone?
Yeah, well, thanks for the compliments, and appreciate
it.
And,
absolutely,
thanks for being a fan. And I get that a lot. Everyone's like, I can't believe you're a fighter. You're so calm, and especially all the interviews I'm doing, everyone's like, you know, you're a different person when you fight. But, you know, I just, it's something I've done, you know, combat sports since I wrestled since I was a kid, and I've always wrestled, and I've been fighting for a long time now, so I think it's just I have a lot of control over, you know, over myself, and I know when time to free the beast, I guess, you know, so and
sure.
That time is in the cage and in training, you know, like when you're in those training modes, so I think I'm able to really get a lot of stuff out so that I am just a calm, cool person, and but yeah, I think you just got to trust yourself and put your, you know, you do kind of go into that zone, you know, in some fights, like you're in there and just everything's working, and no matter what, every time
sure.
you throw a punch, you're landing it, and every time you go for a takedown, you're getting it, or, you know, stuff like that. So, I mean, it's similar to any other sport where, yeah, you're just having on days, and some days you have off days, and but, it's just an amazing feeling anyway.
So let me ask you this, because I know when, you know, playing baseball was my thing. So playing baseball, I know, like, when I stepped up the bat, I was either, you know, I was going to get a base hit or a home run or whatever it may be. When you're in the cage and you know that you're in that zone, does it kind of become like you're shooting fish in a barrel? It's like, this is too easy. So I'm gonna kind of practice some things. I'm going to kind of toy with this guy. Or is it just always to finish, because you never know, that guy turns around and throws a haymaker and you get caught, you're knocked out? Or do you know, I mean, because I just can't imagine that, like, I could never be a police officer, because I would, like, pull up behind somebody, flick my lights on just to pull them over and then drive by them. That's the kind of guy I am. But
yeah,
is it, you know, I couldn't be a fighter, because I would kind of toy with this guy. I would, like, you know, is that kind of the way, and I'm not saying you're the same guy as me, because I'm a dick and you are clearly not, but
I've never had that feeling that I'm in there and I'm able to, like, toy with anybody like that. Like,
sure.
If I'm that much better than him, I'm not going to toy with him. Like, I'm going to put him away and get him out of there, because, like, you know, you never know what can happen. You know, if you're playing around in there, you know, and you could have finished him and you pass up that opportunity, you might not get that opportunity again, and then he might get the opportunity to finish you, even though you might be way better, and 99 times out of 100 you'll beat this guy. That's MMA, you know, like he could get that one lucky shot or just catch you sleeping and catch you in a submission, or, you know, so for me, like, that's a dangerous game to be playing in the ring, you know. I think if you can put a guy away fast and early, do it. That's my philosophy.
Yeah, absolutely. And clearly, I mean, your record shows it. You know, two-thirds out of, 12 out of your 18 fights, you've finished in the first round. So clearly that is your philosophy, and you do a great job at it. You know, and I just think I would get caught way more times than you. Trust me, I would, you know, toy around or whatever. But, you made a couple comments throughout. You said –
things about your you can't believe you're already in your 20th fight and your career 7-8 years. It seems like you're kind of surprised a little bit. You've been in the game this long. Not that you're doing as incredible as you are, and you still have clearly. I mean, you've also talked about winning the title and defending it, so you have. You know, the sky's the limit for you. How long do you feel like you want to fight? And, you know, what numbers are we looking at? Do you want to fight to 40 fights, to 50 fights, that kind of thing?
I don't know. I've never really put a number on how many fights I wanted or a number on my age either. Like, I'm getting up there. I wouldn't say I'm old or anything. I'm probably in my prime for the next few years. I just turned 31 this year, so I think,
oh,
you know.
Man, you are a baby to me, brother. I'm going to be 40 coming up here.
Yeah, and I mean, I think if you live a good, healthy lifestyle and you be smart about your training and smart with your body, and you stay healthy, I think that it's definitely possible to continue to fight, into your late 30s and into your 40s. You know, there's guys out there showing it. You know, I think the key, though, is being smart. And I think I've really learned a lot about being smart, training smart, not taking too much damage in training. Nobody's getting paid in training. You know, you get paid to fight. And that's where, you shouldn't be, these things where guys are always like, if you're not in the fight 100%, if you're not 100% in your fight, you had a bad training camp, I don't really agree with that. I think that training is training for a fight. Training shouldn't be fighting, You shouldn't be getting into wars in the gym and getting yourself concussions or like busting yourself up too hard, You should be going into that fight feeling more than 100%, in my opinion. And so there's that part of it, and I think I've really started to strive to live a better lifestyle. Like in my earlier days, I would after a fight get way out of shape and eat McDonald's for days and drink beer and just turn into a slob, and now I've realized the older you get how important it is to actually just consistently stay in shape. And it's okay to maybe go out and indulge once in a while, but if you keep it in check and consistently eat healthy and consistently stay in shape, then I think that goes a long way for your longevity in the sport. So I would like to fight, definitely I'm hoping, into my mid to late 30s, and if I'm lucky,
okay,
maybe into my 40s. So as long as I'm healthy and my heart's still in it, then I have a long time left, I think.
Sure, absolutely. So you're looking at, you're still looking at, eight or so years. But I think, Kurt, I'm not sure. I think you called me a slob because I love McDonald's for days and beer. So I think you just called me. I'm just kidding with you, brother. I'm just going to.
Sorry, what did I call you?
No, I said, I think you just called me a slob because I love McDonald's for days and beer. So I think you called me a slob a little bit.
Oh, sorry, man.
No, you're good, brother. I'm just kidding with you. You said something in there that was very telling for me. You said that, you want to, back in your earlier days of your career, you wanted to, do this, that, and the other. Was there a time that you kind of turned the corner, or was it just maturity where you decided to go from that person that enjoyed and indulged way too much, overindulged, to somebody who takes his body and his craft very seriously? Did somebody, to kind of shake you by the shoulders and say, Kurt, listen, you got a great career ahead of you? Or was it just something that you woke up one day and said, listen, man, I'm going to be a world champion someday and I need to take this seriously? How did you make that transition?
I don't know. I think it was just I just started. We're always learning as fighters and as a martial artist. That is what martial artists are supposed to do, right? You're supposed to always be learning, always getting better. And that's just an area, like nutrition and diet and longevity is just something I've started researching a little. Like I read the Dolce diet, probably 2 or 3 years ago. And that kind of was maybe the first Kickstarter into like my learning about nutrition, health, And, you know, I do like to listen to his stuff and listen to what he says, but also doing my own research on stuff. And yeah, I just kind of probably, I would say, when I first read that book, The Living Lean Dolce Diet, which was, yeah, I think maybe 3 years ago or so, is what really sort of opened my eyes or enlightened me a little bit more to what a healthy athlete should be and how you should eat and just care yourself. And sure. So, yeah, I've just been striving to learn more and get better in that area as opposed to, as you know, also other areas of the sport, like my boxing and my kickboxing and everything, right? It's all tied together. If I can be a healthier, happier person, then I'm probably going to be a better fighter, right?
Yeah, absolutely. No, I couldn't agree more with you. And to be honest, that was a perfect segue because that was exactly where I was going. I mean, you're 3 weeks out of your fight. This is a big fight in your career, and this is something that you've been striving for a long time. And this is a rematch with Tom Galicchio. Where are you as far as your training camp? I know you said that you're back in your home gym and you're doing your thing there, but are you honing some skills, or are you working on new stuff, or, you know, I mean, where do you feel like you're at in your preparation for the fight?
No, I'm good. I'm right where I need to be. I'm probably further ahead. You know, I feel like, if I would like, you know, if this fight was this weekend, I would be ready for it. You know, like I'm there, and you know, I'm just kind of just trying to carry on with what I was doing down in Sacramento with the guys and, you know, of course, doing what I always do with my team. Yeah, I mean, I learned a lot of new skills down there that I'm polishing up and trying to add to my game. You know, because you learn a ton of stuff when you're gone for a month and you're taking all these classes. So obviously I'm not going to be able to implement everything I learned into my game. But I do feel that I'm a lot different of a fighter than I was the first time me and Tom fought. So, you know, if he's expecting the same guy, he's not going to get it. So I'm just keeping it going until the fight, you know, getting mentally prepared, getting physically prepared, and I'm ready, man.
Yeah, I'm so like enthralled by fighters. Like they're the way fighters are wired to me. It should be like a college course on the way a fighter is wired, because I mean you move out of your home, you go down, you know, Sacramento. I don't know how far that is from Saskatoon, but you're down there for a few months. Now you're coming back, and you're going to try to get back in your thing. You've got all this stuff jumbled in your brain, and I know you're a smart guy. I feel like you got to just be wrestling mentally with trying to do this and make sure I do this and that and this. Or is it just like muscle memory for you, Kurt, that you can just, you know, go into a fight, and it's just like, oh, when the door closes, and I look across, and there he is, and I know what I'm going to do, and it doesn't matter. Like, my head is spinning for you. Does that ever come into play where you're just like,
see, well, that's
holy
the
hell,
thing.
Man.
You know, you got to rely on your training once you're in there, you know. Like, now's the time to be thinking about it. You know, a week ago, 2 weeks ago was the time to be thinking about how to work a technique or a combination or whatever, right? You're thinking about it, and then you do it, and you do it, and you do it, and you do it, and you do it until you don't have to think about it. So hopefully, if training goes well and everything goes well, that when you're in that fight, you don't think about it. Like, when I'm in there, I'm not like, okay, like, it doesn't go through my head where I'm like, okay, now I can throw an uppercut and a jab,
yeah,
and then go for a takedown. Like, that, if you're, you know, if your mind is thinking in those terms, then you're probably not as prepared as you should be. Like, it's a weird thing where you don't really think, you just do, you know, you just react and
right.
You act, and you just do it without thinking, you know?
Yeah, I guess
the muscle memory
yeah.
of drilling that technique, drilling it over and over and over and seeing it in your head, visualizing. Because, yeah, if you're thinking
yeah.
about it, then you're probably not going to react in the time it takes, because it's, you know, split seconds that you have to act and react.
Absolutely.
In there.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. I mean, you know, it to me seems like light years away where I could, you know, counter a punch, but you guys do it just so quickly. It's just like, holy smokes. But I ask this with every one of the fighters that I talk with, and I'm a father, I'm a family guy myself, so I always want to know, like, kind of where, like, the supports and the people that have kind of held you up or been that shoulder to cry on when you just haven't been, you know, is there anybody that's in your life that you're, you know, that you really couldn't be where you're at without? I mean, like, I guess what I'm saying is, like, who do you lean on when you need somebody the most outside of your coaches and your teammates? I mean, there's got to be somebody, right?
Yeah, well, man, I'm super lucky. I got my lovely fiance who we've been together for 10 years. We've been engaged for 5.5 years now, so, you know, any day now we're going to finally tie the knot, maybe. But, you know, so she's very supportive, you know, letting me go away to Sacramento, thousands of miles away for a month, and letting me, you know, spend all this time away from her in the evenings and the weekends training. And, you know, so she's number one. And then I got my awesome. My parents, who are really supportive, and they come to every fight. And you know, from them to my auntie and grandma and my other grandma, my brothers, you know, they're always at my fight. So I'm lucky. I have a huge support system. I have a bunch of friends because I grew up, you know, I grew up in Saskatoon. I've been here as long as I can remember. And, you know, pretty much born and raised. I was actually born in Red Deer, but I've been here since before I was a year old. So it's basically the only city I know. So I have a ton of friends, a ton of family, and, you know, actually to get me down to Team Alpha Male, I had to do some fundraising. I sold T-shirts and had, like, a steak fundraiser dinner. And, you know, I'm just overwhelmed with the support that I have here. But, you know, it starts with my fiance Amber, and then goes down to my parents and my sister, my brothers, and my grandmas, my aunties. And, yeah, so it's like I'm super lucky. And they all support me, too, you know. I've talked to a lot of people in this fight business and people that have just been training at the gym where their parents or their family just don't think it's a good idea, you know, that they shouldn't, you know, they should just go get a regular job, and that's the smart way to do it. I'm super lucky that I have all that support.
I got to say two quick things. One thing about Amber, because you said her name was Amber, is that correct, or did I hear that incorrectly? I don't want to say a wrong name. Amber's your fiance?
Amber.
Okay. I'm married. I've been married 10 years, and I could just imagine if I approached my wife and said, hey, honey, listen, I'm going to go a couple thousand miles away and fight with a couple guys for a month. You cool with that? So Amber is a very supportive, a very huge support for you, for sure. And secondly, let me ask you this a little bit. You say you're born and raised, for the most part in Saskatoon. Now, when you fight up in Canada and, you know, close to home and where all your family and friends and, you know, does it get sometimes overwhelming as far as, like, ticket requests? And also, does it also, like, kind of, is it a burden at times when, you know, I'm not talking your aunties and your grandmas. And first of all, that's wicked cool that you have both your grandmas. That's super
they actually have, well, my one grandma, she watches it on Access TV.
Sure.
And she just, you know, her and my auntie will get together and watch it. Maybe some of the family will come over. But my other grandma, she has parties every time I fight and watches it on Access TV. You know, she's kind of, you know, more of a younger, hip grandma. And she invites all her friends over, and they come over, and they, you know, they drink and they eat, and they all get together and watch my fights. You know, it's pretty crazy to have a grandma have fight parties for your grandson. So
absolutely, I gotta be
pretty lucky.
I gotta be honest. Next time I have you on, you gotta bring your grandma on. I gotta talk to her about her fight parties, because I really, truly, that's one of the things that I love to talk to is the families that really support you guys And now, does it sometimes get overwhelming for you when you fight in front of all these people? Does it make you nervous? I mean, you're already going to have butterflies stepping into a cage or a ring with somebody that wants to punch you in the face. And does it sometimes add to the fact that you got 1,000 people in the crowd that are like, you know, I know him and we hung out. We're going to have beers tonight when he's done. Does it sometimes get a little nerve-wracking for you?
I try not to think about that part of it. I mean, the fight itself is so overwhelming at times too that, like,
sure.
I kind of try to put everything else out of my mind. You know, if I'm doing it right, if I'm prepared mentally, then, you know, I hopefully am not thinking about anything else but my fight, you know, before I get into the ring. You know, I'm nervous, of course. Like, I'm a fighter who gets nervous, and I think that's good. I think it's normal. I think that's how your body prepares itself to go in there and do what it needs to do. But, I really try not to think about everybody back home watching it and everybody that came to in or watching it in the stands too, you know, because that does add to it. You know, there's already so much pressure just in the fight itself. If you start thinking about everybody else and added pressure and, oh, what if I lose? You know, I don't want to see my dad's face when I lose, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, then you're probably not maybe in the right mental space to be getting in there. So,
I
think about it.
Short
answer.
Yeah. No, I appreciate you know, you delving into the answer a little bit because I can, you kind of take me to where I am mentally, and I'm not a fighter, but I could imagine me worrying about people, not worrying per se, but like being concerned about that stuff. And I mean, clearly I wouldn't be in a good place. So, before I let you go, I really enjoyed our conversation, and I think you're very cerebral. I think you really have a good head on your shoulders. I think you really are very in tune and really relaxed. I'm really surprised. Like, I was anticipating this hyper, like a Mark Pavlich kind of conversation, and I love Mark Pavlich. He's one of my favorite people in all the world. But it doesn't matter if I call him at noon, Mark Pavlich. It doesn't matter.
Oh, Mark
Cavill.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
Mark.
It doesn't matter.
Mark's the character, that's for sure. You know, he is who he is. I can't hold a candle to Mark when it comes to energy and interviews. You know. So.
No, for sure. I actually, it doesn't matter if I call Mark at noon or if I call him at 3 a.m. He's the same guy, and I was really expecting from watching you fight and watching the way you fight and how you fight. I was really expecting that kind of. Really expecting that kind of interview tonight, but you're really relaxed and really cerebral, and you really have a great head on your shoulders, my man. And I had a lot of fun tonight talking with you, and I appreciate you coming on tonight. Before I let you go, I want you to tell everybody where they can find you on Twitter, Facebook, whatever it is. And I also want you to thank the sponsors and the people that got you where you're at because you're fighting in a couple weeks. And I also we'll go ahead and do that. So. We'll touch base.
Find me on Twitter, just at Kurt Southern. Facebook is Kurt Southern MMA. Just go and like my page there.
Sure.
Yeah, for those fights so far, I got Rev Gear. They hooked me up with a bunch of gear and some sweet gear. So thanks to Rev Gear. We kind of still are in the line, trying to line up some final sponsors, so anyone out there who's interested, hit me up on Twitter.
Sure.
Yeah, and thank the MFC, May 9th, all my friends and family, the guys down at Sacramento, Team Alpha Male at Uri's Ultimate Fitness, and of course my home gym, Alliance Martial Arts. And thank the MFC for giving me the opportunity to fight for that belt. And that's it. I'm ready to go.
You know, I'm looking forward to your fight. I really am, Kurt. I love the way you fight. I love the way you bring it. And the MFC is one of my absolute favorite. Glory, MFC, Access. See, those promotions are probably some of my favorites. And I really feel like you're in a good spot for the kind of fighter you are and the style of fight you are. So I feel like you have a good home where you're at right now. I
I mean, it doesn't matter who I am, but as a fan and as a fan of yours, I feel like you're in a good spot. So I wish you nothing but the best. And I'm very serious. Next time you come on, I want to talk to you after the fight, but you got to bring your grandma on. I want to talk to her because that's the kind of person I am. I love that stuff, and I think those are the kind of those are the kind of relationships that we build to make us who we are and bring us to where we're at. So I love that stuff. So Kurt, I wish you the best, man, and on May 9th, and I know you're going to come to fight, man, and I wish you nothing but the best.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, thank you very much, and looking forward to next time.
Awesome. Kurt, take care, man. I will talk to you on the other side of your fight, and have a good night, my friend.
All right, you too.
All right. Bye. Ladies and gentlemen, Kurt Southern, who fights May 9th, Tom Galicchio, it's a rematch of a fight that Tom won back in January. So and Kurt is no joke. I mean, he absolutely, Carl, I'm not sure if you've ever seen him fight. And I, you know, Mukai is a friend of mine, and I've seen Kurt beat him up a few times. And I was always like, man, look at this dude, just comes out and fights. And he was not lying that he comes out and fights. So I'm looking forward to that fight. You know, Tom, like we said last week, we had him on last week. He is probably one of my favorite fighters. You know, I would lobby to have him on often. He's training for a fight. But I'm not going to lie to you, Kurt Southern, as much as he was very relaxed, very contained, he had a lot of knowledge, man. He spit a lot of knowledge.
Yeah, for sure. It was great. I can't wait to listen to the interview with his grandma.
I know. I'm not even going to lie, man. I'm not kidding. That's the kind of, you know, I don't care. Maybe I'm just the biggest douche when it comes to the radio business, but that's the kind of stuff that I really appreciate, and that's the kind of stuff that I really like. I really like to build on those relationships and see where these guys came from. Because, listen, we're both family men. We both got kids and wives. And, you know, could you just imagine if you said to your wife, hey, honey, I'm leaving for a month to go down and train kickboxing with a bunch of guys down here. We're going to snap each other with towels in the shower. My wife would say, good, leave your ring on the table and beat it. That's the way, you know. So I just think... I just think building those relationships and finding out where these guys come from is way more important than asking them about how his diet's doing. You know what I mean? I don't know, maybe. But I will tell you this. I know we are building an incredible stable of radio shows and people who love the MMA world and different genres and, you know, just throughout the countryside. And I know... Bluegrass MMA is on, I think it's on just before us, Carl. Is that correct?
Sure is, man.
Okay. And I know one of the guys, Gary Thomas, who runs that and who is the kingpin of Bluegrass MMA. I know he does a great job, but I from what I understand, Gary is on the line with us. Gary, are you there, my son?
I might have to go, guys. I'm sorry. I thought we were snapping towels, and I forgot my grandma at home. But no, I'm here. Thanks for having me, Jason, Carl.
Absolutely, my brother. Listen, when you come on this, you come on with a jockstrap only, a towel, and your grandma in tow. That's the only way you come on Full Guard Fight Radio.
Listen, that would be epic.
How are you, my man? What's going on? What's new in Bluegrass?
Man, I'm doing well, guys. I've been listening. I love, first of all, I'm with you, Jason. I love Kurt Southern. I think I'm interviewing him Thursday night for Pro
awesome,
MMA
yeah,
Now Radio. And the pride of Saskatoon, and he's always, you know, I heard you say you expected him to be a little more vibrant, but he's always even keeled. And you know, that I think that fight, I think it's going to be a good grudge match at MFC 40.
Yeah, you know what? I even said to him, Mukai Marom was a friend of mine outside of, you know, just being a radio guy. And I, when Mukai fought him, I was like, you know, very excited to see Mukai fight and whatever. And he got a tail whipped, and it wasn't close. I mean, they weren't good fights for Mukai. So I was like, man, who is this Kurt Southern guy? So I was really excited to watch him. And now, you know, now I've got a chance to see him fight a bunch of fights now, and he is no joke, man.
No, for real, and his fight with Tom, you know, Tom, hats off to him, he finished Kurt. That the first round was was very good. Southern's a guy, he can put you away at any time. And with Galecchio, you know, he's a guy that he's been in this business a long time, and he knows where to get those opportunities, and he took advantage of that. And it was a shame that, you know, he missed weight by what, 0.8 or something, you know. But hey, we get to see this rematch, and I think you'll see a better fight this time out of both guys.
Yeah, I we had Tom on last week, and you know, Tom's a character. Tom and Kurt are two ends of the spectrum, man. They're like day and night, man. When you talk to them, and you know, going in the fight, they both like the fight, but I mean, they're two totally different entities. So it's going to be very interesting. I'm looking very forward to it. And MFC is one of my absolute favorite promotions because I love Mark Pavlich, and I think really he's vested in his product, and I feel like he has, you know, he would run through a wall. And go to the ends of the earth for him. So I'm looking forward to that fight May 9th, man. But what do you got going on up at Bluegrass MMA up there? I know you're up in the Cincinnati area. Is that correct? Cincinnati, Kentucky kind of area?
Yeah, I'm in my partner Juan Valley is a Buckeye. He lives in Cincinnati. So we started pretty much just Kentucky. We've expanded pretty much to the entire Ohio Valley region and beyond in some circumstances. But man, it's if you're a fan of MMA like we are, guys, I know Carl, the whole MMA Madhouse crew stays hopping. I saw Battle for the Border pictures and all that stuff up there. Local MMA, regional MMA is where it's at right now. If you want to see good fights, you want to see good people, and I'll probably emphasize good people over good fights. You need to get out and support local MMA because even guys from the MFC, I just talked to Mark last week, and I feel like you could call Mark just out of the blue, and it's going to be – you're going to get what you get every time, you know, that passion, that fire. But that's contagious across the spectrum from a promoter we talked to tonight, you know, fighters fighting for the first time. It's just – man, it's a good time to be in the sport.
Yeah, you know, Gary, you couldn't have said it better. I couldn't have said it better myself. I say it all the time that the sport we are in, I've played sports all my life, I've been in team sports all my life, the sport we are in, as much as it is individual, and every time you see an individual sport, you see a lot of the back pat and the pound in the chest, you're going to see that in MMA, but it's, you know, these guys are full of adrenaline, but when you get these guys out of the cage or the ring, these guys are legit, these guys are down to earth, they are approachable, they are, even Mark Pavlich, who is the owner of one of the biggest MMA promotions in the world, in North America, I've called him at 2 o'clock in the morning Eastern time, so what is that, like 4:30 in the afternoon Canadian time? but he is absolutely the same guy all the time, and he will give you the time to say, hey, listen, how about you work this? How about you try this? How about you do that? He's very willing in more than willing to reach out for people. So you couldn't have said it better, my friend. We're in a good time.
He told me last week that he could walk away right now and he's accomplished all of his dreams. And I just feel like calling BS on that because if you know Mark Pavlich, there's no walking away. There's no walking away from Mark Pavlich, but it sounded good.
Yeah, that's an absolute lie. There's no way that Mark Pavlich is done and ready to hang it up because I know that we have that I have. I was just telling Carl, like, when I know Mark Pavlich is on, I let my neighbors know that I'm going to be screaming in the street because this guy's got me fired up, and I'm just some knucklehead down here in Florida standing in my boxer shorts talking to a guy on the radio. So it's not like I have anything. And, I mean, this guy fires me up. I can just imagine what he does to his employees. And every single one of those employees, every single person he touches, they're live in the MFC. It's the same way. So it's one of the greatest organizations I've been a part of.
I think in 2014, to be a promoter, that passion has to come through. You know what I mean? You have to have that spark because MMA promoters are a dime a dozen, even here in Kentucky and Ohio. I mean, how are you going to separate yourself and promote where so many people lack that key ingredient to being successful is promotion? I mean, Mark will probably do 872 interviews before MFC 40, and these guys that want to be the next regional powerhouse, or they want a TV deal with Access TV, they've got it. They got to have that flair, and I think that's where, if there was something lacking, it's that it's them being able to unleash that raw emotion that probably got them started in the sport anyway years ago.
Yeah, you know what, Gary, you're so right, my man. And you know, I don't have the opportunity to. I'm from Buffalo, New York, and when I was up there, MMA was, you know, it was like a. It was an anomaly. You didn't talk about it. You didn't do it. You couldn't find it anywhere. So I didn't really have a chance to venture out to you because I really wasn't that far. You know, I've been to Columbus a few times, Cincinnati a few times, and, you know, Kentucky. So I don't really know a whole lot of the scene up there. So break it down for me a little bit. Who do you guys got up there that you may want to pitch my way so I can catch on the internet?
You know, I think there's such saturation and mixed martial arts that we saw so many people over the last decade come and go. And what you're seeing now is those people that had strong business plans, had the good attitudes, and really treated people the right way, that's what's left. So you've got people in Ohio like IT Fight Series, who's ran by Scott Sheely, who trains Kung Lee and Matt Brown of the UFC. But, you know, he runs his own gym there, and he's done not just with the IT Fight Series, but with the Iron Tiger Series and the Kickboxing Series, you know, 70 events. You got the NAAFS, who you can catch on Go Fight Live with their, I guess, their sister promotion or brother or father, however you look at it. They've split from, you know, NAAFS is all amateur. Driven MMA is all pro, and they're doing a great job up there. In Kentucky, you've got guys like Hard Rock MMA, Turf Wars, you know, and we went from 18 active promoters to, like, we're at 6 right now, but the best have survived. You know, it's been
right.
Survival of the fittest, so we've got the best of the best that's left. Tennessee, you've got 3FC doing great things, V3 in Memphis. I mean, I can't speak more highly of a promotion than V3 doing what they do, and where
they're
come
an incredible in. Promotion. They really are incredible promotions.
And you look down in Florida, you've got like the Wesley Chapel Fight Nights, and you've got some of these promotions that are doing great things, and they're only around because they're doing things the right way. And I think we've done a great job at policing ourselves from kind of getting the scum and the people that are in it for the wrong reasons. One, nobody's going to come in and make a shit pot full of money. That's not going to happen.
Exactly.
Especially immediately. So you've got the people that are being patient, doing it the right way. And I think, you know, Carl can speak on for what it's like there in the Pacific Northwest, but, you know, you see some great Canadian promotions doing things, some people there in Washington, Colorado, a lot of places have learned what it takes to be successful, and we get to reap the benefits on a weekly basis.
Yeah, 100% couldn't agree more with you, Gary. Really, we, you know, we are in a spot here at the MMA Madhouse that we have an opportunity, and I tell Carl this all the time, Carl and Skippy, it's like a love fest. Every time I talk to him, I thank him. I can't thank him enough that they put me in the spot that I get to talk MMA. How awesome of a job is this, man? How awesome of a job is it that you get to go out? First of all, I can't believe you and just one person cover like 72 of the 50 states that we have. It's just incredible how you guys do that. So up at Bluegrass up there, I can't believe that. But we are in a really cool spot. We are in, like, you know, when people talk about MMA, I'm always like, yeah, what, there's UFC and, I mean, you know, how about you support local? I got in a fight with a guy from the UFC, you know, one of the big wigs up there, and all I could do was keep hashtagging him, support local MMA. He finally blocked me. He got sick of hearing it. So we're in a good spot. We really are. We you know, how cool is this that we get to talk to all these up-and-comers when they get to be big time? You know, Dana and all these big wigs think they're geniuses, when Carl and yourself over at Bluegrass, you guys are already, you know, Carl and Skippy, and you guys are already scooping them up, man. Wicked cool.
Well, that's like, and I can't speak for Carl, but I imagine it's the same way. That's the reward. That's the as much as we are, you know, putting miles on the car and going to all these events, our reward is seeing these guys really do well. And, you know, you get to know their families, you get to know the people at the gym, you get to know their sponsors,
right.
And you don't, you know, let's face it, we've got 27 UFC events this month. You can't really get that unless you already knew them, unless you knew a guy you know, like the guy from Missouri, White, who just came out and won and got a performance bonus on Wednesday night or Saturday,
right.
whatever night he fought. You know, whatever night he fought.
Right.
You would not know. You wouldn't know that story. You wouldn't have that connection. And for the average consumer of mixed martial arts, they don't know that. And so who's going to do that? Is it going to be UFC PR? No, they got to build stars. They've got their superstars that are a 24/7 job to the Donald Cerrone's and John Jones's and everybody to. So what about our guys fighting on Fight Pass? That's where we come in. You know, that's where, oh, they fought at Hard Rock MMA. Lorenz Larkin, who's fighting in Cincinnati in 2 weeks, was the Hard Rock MMA heavyweight champ. Now he fights at 185, and he's pretty good in the UFC. So not many people, like if you just didn't know Lorenz Larkin, would know that. But people like us, we get to follow that, and you know, and then when you get to see him at these events, it's a great connection.
Absolutely. And it's fun. It makes it worth the while. You know, you go and everybody's like, well, I'm not going to go. I only watch UFC. Well, why are you only going to watch UFC? Why are you not going to go to the fight up the road when the guy that is pumping your gas or helping you change your tire is fighting? I mean, why aren't you going to support that? But let me ask you this, Garrett. You brought something up about the UFC and those guys and John Jones. I see on Twitter often, you have a presence on Twitter with you guys in Bluegrass MMA. Let me ask you, there's recently, and I'm going to specifically talk about it, I don't really support Zuffa and the UFC and things like that, but recently, I don't know if you follow John Jones on Twitter, and it's not just him. It can be anybody. It can be in the entertainment world. It can be in the sports world. It can be in the political world, whatever it may be. But he recently had his phone hacked, and there were some anti-Semitic, some homophobic slurs that were tweeted out from his account. Now let me ask you a question, Gary. Is it acceptable? Because we, meaning society and the Twitterverse, accepted the fact that this was a hack job and this couldn't have been John Jones. He doesn't do that. Is it acceptable for these athletes, these politicians, these movie stars to say, hey, listen, my account got hacked. I'm going to get a new phone. Give me your new number, which could be BS all the way around. Do you buy it? Are you on board with it?
I'm not, but I feel like as a society we're very desensitized to a lot of that stuff.
Agreed.
So what 10 years ago we'd find offensive, when we find John Jones calling this guy from Sweden, you know, making these slurs and stuff, we'd have been, oh my God, you know, John Jones, why slap you on the wrist? I can remember Miguel Torres,
right.
You know, quoting a movie and getting fired.
But
there's such a double standard for the upper echelon, whether it be fighters, musicians, whatever. But let me or you tweet this? Oh, man, we're done. We're done. We have no credibility left in society.
Absolutely. And even if I said, hey, listen, I got a new phone. Let me get your new contacts, this, that, and the other. I was hacked. That's all these fighters have to say. And I'm a huge John Jones supporter. And the reason I am is because he took me – to UFC 128, I might as well have been a family member. I used to run a Buffalo Wild Wings up in New York, and he lives up there in Ithaca. And he could have been better to me and my family. And, you know, so, like, on a personal level, I think the guy is great. His family is great. But I was, like, really taken aback by it, and I never thought that this would come from him. And I'm going to be 100% honest with you. I've heard him make comments. I've seen him make comments. I've seen him do things that were, you know, not John Jones-ish, I guess we could say, who puts himself on a pedestal, who's a Nike Nike spokesman. So it really irks me that we are in a world, a society, where we can just say, my phone was hacked and things. Because I'll tell you what, Kurt Southern, I'm going to tell you right now, if he makes those comments, if his phone gets hacked and he makes those comments, he's out of a job. He's not fighting. He's not fighting Tom Galicchio. And I would rather see Tom Galicchio and Kurt Southern fight than John Jones and Glover Teixeira, to be honest with you, any day of the week. It is what it is, man.
It's hard to I mean, it's hard to watch some of this stuff. You know, if you saw the back and forth between John Jones and I believe it was Tyson Griffin, Tyson put up the direct messages, you know, we're human. We're human. We're going to say stupid stuff. We're going to make mistakes. But I'm a firm believer. Own that. Own that, yeah.
Absolutely.
My temper was high. This guy's been aggravating me on Twitter. So I got on his Instagram and I started posting nasty stuff. I can't help it. Yeah. I was full of rage. You know, I would be like, oh, like the whole Jessica I situation. I didn't do drugs. I didn't, you know, blah, and, you know, it leads up, and then, oh, she failed a drug test. Just right. Tell us that. Say, I made a mistake. Right. I'm human. It's not like you're immune from making poor decisions. But that's the great thing about what should be the great thing about society is, oh, yeah, you know, yes, what you did was wrong, but you're still not a bad person. Nobody addresses right. That. Nobody addresses that, hey, what you did was wrong, but you can still be a good person.
That's so funny because I'm a baseball guy. Andy Pettit, who tests positive for steroids, comes out and says, I use steroids. Everybody forgets about the fact that he's going to be on the Hall of Fame ballot very shortly. Barry Bonds, Mark McGuire, Sammy Sosa, you can't get those any. Roger Clemens, those guys can't get anywhere near the Hall of Fame ballot because they just won't come out and say, yeah, you listen, I, you know, fired that spike into my hip, you know, just to get back on the field to play. That's all you got to say. I'm cool with that. But anyway, I mean, Chris, we can go on all day for that, Gary. I mean, really. There's something I got to ask you, and I've been, you know, I think I've asked you this in the past, but I got to know how you and one other guy, your cohort, Jose, is that his name? Jose?
Juan.
Juan, I'm
yeah,
sorry.
Well, you can call him whatever, but yeah, Juan.
I apologize. Please apologize to Juan. I mean, I'm sorry, Juan. I don't know how you guys cover as much MMA. Listen, I mean, Skippy eats, breathes, and craps. MMA Madhouse. The guy's probably on the crapper right now eating dinner, watching kickboxing from Russia while, you know, he's tweeting out 97 different things. But he's got people. How do you guys, just the two of you, do all the area that you cover?
It's hard. You know, we made a commitment. When I started with, originally I had a different partner and he was more casual than committed. Now, I'm pretty hard-headed, so when I decided that this is what I wanted to do, this is what I've focused. I mean, you know, everybody's got their hobbies and this and that. You know, I have a 9-to-5 job during the week. I have my family, but they know that on Saturdays I'm gone. I've missed birthday. I'm a horrible person. I mean, I've missed birthdays, weddings, family gatherings, but I truly believe in what I do, and Juan truly believes in what we're doing, and so you know we've made it. You know what if there was a purpose of our life, for now at least, it's doing what we do, and we sacrifice a lot. Just like you know any Skippy yourself. I mean, we could be doing something other than sitting here talking right now, but
yeah.
this is what we've chosen to do, and we've all been. Very well accommodated by the athletes, by the businesses, by the people behind the scenes, to make what dream of that we may to some point. Now, will we be MMA junkie or MMA fighting? Will we have deals with USA Today? Absolutely not. But I can sleep good at night. I know Carl can sleep good at night, knowing that what we do makes a difference, regardless of any financial or anything else that may cloud other people's judgments in the business.
And, you know, we will never be them because we support the people who are the UFC in 10 years. Like, without us, without the people who you and I and Carl and Skippy and Lupaki and Juan and everybody else you guys have running around up there for you, without us, there is no MMA junkie in USA Today. So, I appreciate that. I know Carl does, and I know you do. And but listen, man, this is the show of jock straps, snapping towels, and grandmothers. So I want to know who supports you and who, you know, has she always been supportive? Has she had to learn to be supportive? You said you got a family. You know, is your wife an MMA head like you are, or what, my man?
She. Our relationship, we were both athletes. She played basketball in college. Once she graduated, began teaching, she coached. So we had like polar opposite schedules. So it was nothing to not see each other, but, you know, in passing and this and that. We had my daughter will be six next week, and, you know, so
cool.
About when she turned three, this is when because I didn't know what Local MMA existed, you know, and that's kind of my story.
Yep.
I didn't know it existed until I found it, and then when I found it, I felt like somebody had to be the voice. So she's been my photographer, she's been my driver, she's been, you know, pretty much the best part of me when it comes to Bluegrass MMA, and she's tolerant, and I don't know why, because you know, I've left her alone on Saturday. I've left her alone at fight shows to talk with random people. Interesting enough, we were in Bowling Green, and Kari was there. So they got to talk, you know, Kari was there covering for MMA Madhouse. And, you know, it's what our family has picked up another family as you travel. And if you make these circuits, you see the same refs, judges. I'm indebted to Todd Neal of the Kentucky Boxing Wrestling Authority the rest of my life for giving me the insights that he has and knowing what a fair person is like. So without, you know, I can only take it so far, but if it wasn't for my wife and the other people that support us, like, this would have been gone a long time ago.
Carl, note to self, Gary is no longer allowed to join us on the show. I'm going to be sleeping in bed, or I'm going to be sleeping on the couch again, because he is giving support to his wife. And every time anybody does, I sleep on the couch. So thanks, Gary. thanks for what you did.
She'll give you an extra pillow.
No, that's awesome, my brother. And listen, last week, Carol and I were talking a little bit. MSC is going to be coming down here to Vegas very shortly, and it's very cheaper anyway to go there than it is to go up to Calgary or anything like that. So, man, we're all going to try to put it together. We're all going to try to figure out something to get down here. And I can't wait to shake your hand and shake your wife's hand, because my wife is very supportive as well. I know Carl's is, and we got kids everywhere that are going to be MMA junkies as well, not that website, but MMA junkies in doing the same thing. So when MSC comes down here and we get a chance to blow into Vegas and you know, take that city over as far as hashtag support local MMA, I mean, it's going to be a good time. It's going to be fun, and I can't wait to shake your hand, my man. So I really commend what you do. I really think it's a great thing. I love listening to you. I know Carl listens to you as much as he can. I know I do as much as I can. Skippy, the whole shebang. You guys got a great product up there, brother. And don't stop doing what you're doing and believe in what you're believing, man.
Well, man, I appreciate that. And if there wasn't guys like Carl and there wasn't for outlets like MMA Madhouse, you know, when people ask me about local MMA, I can toot my own horn as much as I can, but, you know, I can't hold a candle to what Skippy does. I mean, have you seen how many streams he puts out? Oh, my God. And he watches them. Like, I feel like he's in a control room with 92 screens just watching TV, watching fights.
Gary, this is not a joke. I was in a meeting, and this is the truth, honest to God. You can ask my supervisor. I'm going to bring her on here one day, or at least that. I'm going to record her voice, because this is the truth. We were in a staff meeting one day. It was a Tuesday afternoon. I'll never forget this as long as I live. It was like 12:37, and I got like a direct message from Skippy, and it was like, London, check this out. So I click on the link, and it's like a live fight from like Bulgaria. And he was like, oh, did you see that? And I'm like, Skip. So, of course, I can't put the fight down now. I got to watch this fight, and I got it on. I got no volume on, and I'm just watching. Like, I'm covering my phone. I felt like a kid in, like, eighth grade, man. But I love Skippy's passion. I think I couldn't love that man more than I do. And that's very platonically, and he knows that. I think the guy does an incredible job. But the guy got me in trouble. He almost got me written up and fired. So, but it is what it is. I watched the fight. He didn't hold a gun to my head. So I know exactly what you're saying, brother.
You know, just I know you guys have got better things to talk about, but I want to demonstrate the power of local MMA. My good friend Chuck Wells gets a message from Skippy because Chuck's a manager. He's asking about for a 135-pound female, not in Washington, but in Missouri. So Skippy's up there in the corner, Chuck's in Ohio, and I'm in Kentucky. Skippy contacts Chuck. Chuck contacts me because one of our riders, Gina Begley, you know, is looking for a fight. I get in contact with the promoter, and we get a fight booked in St. Louis, Missouri, of all places. Now, if it hadn't been for the crazy connections of all of us, you know, that's a fight that wouldn't happen, and it's going to be a damn good fight, too. And I'm like, and I sit back and I think of things like that, and I'm like, Skippy's in, like, Washington or Oregon, and this, how does this crazy world align perfectly for stuff like this? But, like,
absolutely,
that's the power of local MMA. Like, we are
absolutely
a community, we're strong, and we can get just about anything we want done if we put our minds to it.
Absolutely, my brother. So good. Gary, so good to talk to you, my man. Listen, next time you come on, you got to bring, you got to wear a jock strap and you got to snap towels. You got to bring wine. No grandmas, just bring wine next time, all right?
Will do.
All right, my man. Listen, tell everybody where they can find Bluegrass MMA. Tell everybody who your sponsors are. You got the floor, my man. It's all yours.
BluegrassMMA.com is the mothership. It is our MMA madhouse with probably a lot less content. But that's where you can find just about anything from Ohio, Indiana, Kentucky, Tennessee, Pennsylvania, Virginia. You know, we make no bones about if we can get to it in a car within 6 hours, we'll go. Our only show, you know, every night there's a great MMA madhouse show. But Bluegrass MMA Live, right before the show comes on, we start at 9 o'clock Eastern Time, and we're on Stitcher and iTunes and right here on Block Talk Radio. And I never felt like I could be a salesman. I never wanted to promise anybody, like, hey, if you advertise with me, you're going to sell 20 shirts, you're going to sell 20 mouthpieces. But we've got great people that believe in us. Intimidation Clothing is one of those. Bankdown Fightwear is, if there was a title sponsor, would be our title sponsor. They're just great people. Luke Jernigan, Albie, Melissa Burke, Impact Mouthguards, Frank and his crew have been excellent to us. And yeah, you know, we do what we do, and we try to make everybody happy. But you can't do that, so we try.
That's right. That's right. The only person you got to make happy is mama. My mama's happy, everybody's happy, right?
Amen.
All right. Hey, listen, we'll talk off the air, but listen, are you getting any money from Carl? Because if you are, I'm going to pinch him for a little bit extra over here. So, no, I'm kidding, brother. Listen, I need you to do me a favor, and I need you to make it up to New York, Buffalo, New York. And there's some good MMA up there. There's some reservations, some Indian reservation MMA up there. I know it's not really highly touted. I think it's called Raging Wolf. Check it out, man. It's some good stuff. I know you're in the Pennsylvania area, but the Buffalo, New York area needs some coverage. And I know I would only trust you guys to do it. If you can get up there, that'd be great, man. Gary, listen, I appreciate you being on. I appreciate doing everything you do, man. And I love being part of your team and part of the team. So, Gary Thomas, Bluegrass MMA, my man, check him out 9 o'clock Tuesday nights before this show, the better half of the show anyway. Gary and Juan from Bluegrass MMA, my man, you do a great job, and I will talk to you soon, all right?
Guys, take care. Love what you're doing. Keep up the good work.
Thanks, brother. Gary Thomas, Carl, you and I were only going to talk for a couple minutes tonight, man. We're only going to have we're only going to do one guest, and we're going to be out of here. I mean, we've been here an hour and a half, and I'm ready to go. I mean, who do we got next?
Sorry, I lied to you. Nobody. No, Gary just sort of fell in my lap, and I just figured, what the hell, hit him up. We haven't talked to him since, you and I talked to him way back when we did Inside the Asylum. He was our very first guest together when you and I first started started up. I listen to their show every week, not usually live. I usually listen to it tomorrow morning while I'm stuck at my real job. But I absolutely love what those guys have going on. I'm huge fans, and, I wish they were.
Carol, I can't believe that the two of them cover, what did he say, like, I said 72 of the 50 states earlier, but I think it might be like at least like seven, right? They cover, two guys cover seven states, for six or seven states. That's incredible.
Yeah, it is. They do a great job. Those guys are, you know, as Mark Pavlich would say, obsessed.
Yeah. I mean, man, tonight, I know Kurt Southern was very, like, I don't know if it was my connection. I don't know if it was my phone. You and I kind of maybe feel it was his, but whoever's phone we're blaming, I feel like we missed a little bit because he was so, and I've said it three times, so cerebral. He was so, like, calculated, so, like, when he said an answer, he gave his spiel, and then he came right back to the question that I asked him and answered that question very snap. It was like I ask a question, and he rambles, and then he was, like, so focused to answer my question that he brought it right back. And I really enjoyed talking to him tonight. He's very, what's the word I'm looking for? Very, I don't want to say introverted because he's a fighter. He's not introverted. When he fights, he's a killer. Very reserved, very reserved, I guess. We're going to go with reserved because I can't think of another word. But I was really surprised when he was talking. I'm like, is this the same guy that I watched manhandle Mukai Romo and then have a great fight with Tom Galicchio? I mean, I'm looking forward to their fight again, I guess is what I'm saying. But
yeah, actually, you know, I didn't realize it was the first time you had interviewed him. We've had Kurt Southern on, you know, quite a few times on several of our other shows, I guess. Caught me off guard there. I thought you had interviewed him once before, actually.
No, I never. You shouldn't have to, Carl. And it doesn't even matter if I did in the past. I guess maybe I'm taking it more seriously now because I really love what I'm doing now. And I'm going to be honest with you. I think we have a new tagline, and I think I want this on everything: the land of jockstraps, towel snaps, and grandmas. That I really feel like is a catchy tagline, Carl.
Yeah, we might have to get a. I might have to make you a custom shirt. We got 3 minutes remaining, my friend.
Now we can wrap this up, Carl. Listen, as always, next week, 1 week, not even 7 days. We're like 6 days, 22 and a half hours away from Mark Pavlich and Adam the Woo. We are going to have an incredible show next week. Tonight, I want to thank Gary Thomas from Bluegrass MMA. What an incredible guy he is, and Juan, his partner. I want to thank Kurt Southern, who is fighting Tom Galicchio May 9th in the MFC 40. I want to thank Carl the Madman Martinson. I want to thank Skippy Cohen, Lepaki. I'm going to write them all down, I promise. I'm going to write them all down. Next week, I'm going to write them all down, and I'm just going to do a thank you to everybody, and I'm going to say something good about every single one of MMA Madhouse members. Not next week, 2 weeks from now, because next week I'm going to be getting arrested in the neighborhood and tased because I'm running through people's wall.
I was just going to say that.
Carl is always my man. It's always a pleasure to work with you. It's always a pleasure to do this with you. And I'm standing out here. This is no joke. I'm standing out here in a wife beater and my boxer shorts, and I couldn't be happier. I hope everybody sees me. I really enjoy what we do. I really enjoyed talking to you, and until next week, one of the coolest shows that we're going to do on this radio station, Adam the Woo, Mark Pavlich, for Carl the Madman Mortensen, I'm Jason Lund. This is Full Guard Fight Radio. I will see you next week, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. No, 8. I don't even know. Check it out next Tuesday night. Full Guard Fight Radio, MMAMadhouse.com, MMA Madhouse Radio Production.
Time to disperse. Party's over.
We got all this.